Okay, William, here it is. It's Daniel back again, and I've got the next chapter of the Solar Hat. Boy, oh boy, does it take my brain a little bit of time to think these up. But this chapter is Search for a Missing Robot. Yes. So if you remember at the end of the last chapter, old Ayasuri Ningyo Robot's squeaky toy was zapped in the back of his sweet little digital head. And he fell over totally burned out because Hidoi-san, the ninja for Mr. Kusumono-san, had zapped him with his robo's taser cane, and they stuffed him in the trunk of a car and they took off. Hidoi-san and then the young woman Suki-san or Usatsuki-san, she was a little devil, but she looked so cute. And then driving was Imi-san. Imi-san was a big boy. He was a big boy, and he was not a happy-go-lucky boy. And you saw him driving along, you would stay away from him. They took off. Nobody saw him. Nobody was watching except for a ninja squirrel. Ninja squirrel, well, you know ninja squirrels. They're in competition with the ninjas. So the ninjas took off. Well, it was getting down towards dark. Everything was closing, so they took off to a local hotel in Red Soft, and they checked in. And they spent the night just laughing and eating and telling tall tales to each other and watching TV shows and movies till late at night, because that's all they did anyway when they went out snatching robots. Well, 3T got home, and Squeaky Toy was not there. And then Mr. Nigiyoshi-san got home, and then Dr. Talltree got home, and they said, "Where's Squeaky Toy?" "I don't know," said 3T. And 3T lied. He said, "I don't know where he is. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. He just didn't say anything about I let him out and told him to get some fresh air." No. Oh, William. So Mr. Nigiyoshi-san was livid. He said, "Well, where is he? Where's my robot? I have some very important things I have to do with him starting tonight. I have to train him some more. And there's a lot more he has to learn. He has to learn really how to use his communication devices. I've only just started." And he started pacing. He said, "We have to go look for him." And so Mr. Professor Talltree and Professor Nigiyoshi got out in the car, Dr. Talltree's car, and they started driving around town. They walked through the park. They looked behind the toy shop. They drove everywhere they could, by the river, everywhere. And they couldn't find him. They didn't see anything of him. They didn't see any remains. They didn't see any overalls. You know why? Because there weren't any. Because the ninjas had done too good a job taking him away. Well, 3T said, "Oh, I'll look too." And he went and pedaled around looking for Squeaky Toy. And he was not feeling too good about this. He was looking around. He couldn't see any Squeaky Toy. Couldn't find him. Where had he gone? Where could he have gone? He came up empty. Oh, it was a sad night that night. Mr. Nigiyoshi-san sat up late. He pulled out his transmitter. He pulled out his communication pack. He pulled out all this other equipment, and he set it up on the table, and he tried to raise any types of communication with Squeaky Toy. He tried to open up his GPS to see where he was. He tried to call him on his internal radio cell phone. No. It was dead. There was nothing. There was no robot. They all went to bed. Oh, and 3T was the least happy because his room was a mess and he had to clean it up all by himself. There was no Squeaky Toy. And his sister's room was a mess and she had to clean it up all by herself because there was no Squeaky Toy. And Professor Talltree ended up washing the dishes because tomorrow Tool Talltree said, "No, I'm not washing the dishes. I cook dinner." So he washed the dishes because there was no Squeaky Toy to wash the dishes. Mr. Nigiyoshi-san paced and looked at his instruments and tried to call, tried to run tests, tried to do everything he could to get in touch with Squeaky Toy. But it was no good. And they went to bed so worried. Well, next day, 3T got up and went to school. Bye, 3T. Mm-hmm. Mr. Nigiyoshi-san kept working furiously at his machines. He asked Dr. Talltree to go drive out in the sunlight with him again. They drove around and around. And then they were going to report it to the police. And then they thought, And then as they were driving by, they came across a sheriff's vehicle. And in the sheriff's vehicle were, their old friends, Darius and Cornelius. And Darius said, "Hey, Hey, what can I do? Hey, look who's here. It's Professor Talltale. We haven't seen you in a long time. And Professor Talltale said, Well, there he is. We're out looking for our computer. And Cornelius said, Oh, you mean that little kid we found dumped in the chili sauce? Oh, that was funny if it weren't so serious. Well, has he been out again? Did he get run away? And Professor Talltale said, I think he's been kidnapped again. The two sheriffs looked at each other. The two royal mounted police sheriffs looked at each other. They said, What do you mean? Well, he's a very, very expensive robot, said Mr. Nagiyoshi-san, and he has things in him that no other robot has. And we think he's been abducted so that he can be reverse engineered. Cornelius and Darius looked at each other and said, Reverse engineered? Yes, indeedy. They're going to take him apart and try to figure out how he works. I said, Well, do you have any information on how he was kidnapped? No, we just think he's gone. Oh dear. So they looked at each other and said, Okay, we'll put out an alert to all police officers, to all sheriff officers, to all Royal Mounted Police officers, to everybody we know that there's a robot who's been stolen. And if we find that robot, we'll get it back for you. Oh, they felt so much better and they drove off. Cornelius and Darius looked at each other and said, Hey man, it's robot time. And they did. They called in and reported a missing robot. And that was it. That's all anybody could do. Well. It was mid-morning. And the three ninjas, Imisuki and Hidoi-san, had had a nice fine breakfast for themselves. Oh, they ate it up really well. They went to a pancake house. They had pancakes, they had waffles, they had ham, they had sausages, they had bacon, they had eggs, they had coffee, they had grape juice, they had apple juice, they had grapefruit juice, they had orange juice, they had some granola cereal, and then they decided they'd all have a banana and sit back and burp. And they did. Burp. Oh, they had a great meal. Oh, they loved to eat. Oh boy, I'd eat some more, but we gotta wait for lunch. Well, let's get this robot back. They climbed into their car and they took off to go to the N squared RT warehouse and Nippon Neuroscience Robotic Technologies, because that's where research and development was. Now, nobody knew that R&D was there. Nobody knew what happened on the top floors of the warehouse, but people came and went, boxes came and went, and Tony Onesto had taken plenty of boxes up. He was told, Oh, these are robot parts, sir. We're gonna use see if they get anything useful in them. He'd taken them up and stored them in a big old room way on the second floor in the warehouse, but nobody else went up there except for some people who, looked like they were just going up to sit around and watch the boxes move. They didn't look too good. But that was really the R&D team, research and development. And what Tony Onesto nor anyone else knew is there was another way in to the warehouse, and that was the back elevator. And the back elevator was only for people who had special badges. And if you didn't have that special badge, you couldn't get in. So Tony Onesto was working on the docks. They were loading a truck up with robot boxes, full of robot boxes, to go to a small plant south of Skedaddle. And that plant was actually making tacos, and they needed a couple robots that could sit and make tacos. Now, these were not particularly intelligent robots, and on top of that, they didn't know the three laws of robotics. William, can you believe it? But they were very good at taking the cornmeal and the water and mixing them together and squirting them out into a taco shell, and then having it cook, and then picking it up and putting them on a plate. And then they go do the same thing again and again. That's all they did. But they made taco shells, lots of them, all day long. Which was good because it was a restaurant supply house, and they could supply all the restaurants with really good taco shells. So they were filling up the truck, and in drove this big old car, big old gray car, dark chrome around it. You wouldn't sort of know what kind of car it was. You wouldn't remember what kind of car it was. And driving this car was just about the meanest looking man you could ever imagine. He did not look happy. He had a little scraggly mustache. It wasn't growing too well, but he was a mustache, and he was chewing on a toothpick. And you could look at him, and up hanging onto the wheel, he had his sleeves rolled up, and on one arm you had a tattoo of a purple dragon breathing red fire. Purple dragon breathing red fire. And on the other hand, he couldn't could barely make out another tattoo running up his other arm. Tony looked down and said, "Who are these people?" Out of the back door bounded this old guy. Ah, this old, he looked old. He had white hair. He looked old, but he didn't move like an old guy. And then following him came this young woman who had a really sour look on her face as if she'd just eaten a bunch of bad grapes. But the old guy came up and he said, hey, who's the manager here? And the manager, the supervisor of the dock, stepped up and he said, I am. What can I do for you? And he said, I am Hadoi-san. I am Hadoi-san working directly for Mr. Kusumono-san in the collection bureau. I am the chief of the recovery team. Oh, the recovery team. I need somebody to take a box up to R&D for me. What do you mean? Well, I got that robot. You know, the one that your guys tried to get, remember? You tried to get three times and you missed it because you were so goof-ups. Yeah, I can't even do anything right. And then he looked around, and Hadoi-san looked right at Tony Onesto. Well, Hadoi had done his homework. He knew what Squeaky Toy looked like. He knew what Tony Onesto looked like in Kashikoi. He'd seen their pictures. And he looked at him and he said, yeah, that guy right there. Yeah, you loser. You can't even get a stupid little robot. Oh, you loser. Well, we got him. We got him. And he's ours and he's going up. Tony Onesto looked down at him saying, well, is that the little robot that was out in the countryside with the little kid robot that wore white overalls? Yeah, we got that robot. He was wandering around, nobody taking care of him, and he wasn't working. We took him. We got him. Tony Onesto said, but that's not your robot. It's not our robot. It's a mistake. You have to bring him back. And Tony just looked at him. He looked at Suki-san. He said, can you believe this guy? Oh, my God. Can you believe that he wants us to take it back? And he looked at Tony Onesto, and he said, no. Grow up. You are going to take this box up to R&D, and they're going to take care of it without you. And the supervisor looked at him and said, Tony, go get a hand truck, get the box, take it up. Tony said, but he went and got a hand truck. He went down to the car, and meanwhile, Imi-san came out. Well, Imi-san slouched out, I mean, really. And he slouched around, and he opened the back, and there in the back was what looked like a big suitcase. A big one. And he reached in and he lifted it out with his huge muscles, his big belly there, put it down. And then Tony said, okay, where am I taking it? And Hadoi said, oh, these guys do. He looked at the supervisor and said, do you hire anybody with brains? Or do you all have stupid kids like this? Tony just looked at him and said, well, I just want to know where you want me to take it. So Hadoi said, look, buddy, I'll tell you. Go in that building, go to the far end. There's an elevator going up. Take that elevator up, and whoever answers the other stuff comes to meet you at the elevator, give them this box. That's all you have to do. Can you do it? Can I do it? Do you need me to do it for you? Well, Tony was a little bit put off at this point. He said, I can do it. And he looked at old Hadoi, and Hadoi looked like Adam with an arrogant look, as if you can't do nothing right. I just can't believe it. So Tony got the box on, got the suitcase on his hand truck, took it up, went back in the warehouse. He kept going his back as far as he could past all the boxes of robots, all the boxes of ball bearings, all the boxes of everything. Go way to the back, and there was this junky old elevator. And he hit the elevator to go to 2. The door opened. He pushed his hand truck in, pushed in the box, closed the door, hit 2. The elevator started to go up really slowly. Well, while it was going up, he thought, and he opened the suitcase. He unzipped it, he looked inside, and yes, indeed, there was the little kid. There was this little kid that they tried to capture 3 times, who would walk up to him and talk to him, and they stuck him upside down in the chili sauce. Yes, they did, but here was the little kid, and he was out. He was gone. He was like, they turned him off. They cut all his power. Oh, no, Tony said, oh, no, oh, no, what are we going to do? Oh, no, just as he got to the floor. And he zipped him back up, and the door opened, and there stood 2 old guys and said, yes. And Tony said, I have to take this hand truck into your lab. 2 old guys looked at him, and they said, well, we'll take it in for you. Tony said, no, this is my hand truck. I have to take my hand truck back. Oh, will you wait here? And they picked up the hand truck and they rolled it off to a door. And they fumbled at the door and opened. They pushed in. Tony stood there. It was kind of dirty. He was like, where am I? Door opened a little bit later. One of the old guys came out. He had the hand truck. He said, here, take it. Goodbye. He walked back and the door closed. Bang. Tony walked up to the door. He said, I'm going to go in and see what they're doing. And he tried to open it. It didn't open. He looked down and saw there was a special reader, card reader, on the side of the door. Oh, I need a card. Well, he had a card. So he took it out and swiped it in the card reader. And the card reader started going, rock, 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 red, 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 rock, 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 red, 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 access denied, access denied. Boy, this was a pretty, pretty obnoxious robot alarm they had there. So he said, oh, gee. And there, the door was yanked open again. And these two old guys looked out. They said, what do you want? Well, I just wanted to see where you brought him. I wanted to see what, you get out of here. Go away. And they slammed the door. Well, what was Tony going to do? So Tony went back. He went down the elevator, went out to the dock. And as he climbed out to the dock, there was Hidoi and Tsuki-san. And they were lounging around just talking to the supervisor. And Imi-san was leaning up against the car. And he was just chewing on his toothpick, looking kind of sour, too. And when he came out, they looked at Tony and said, oh! Did you do it right? Did you get the right door? Did you get it in? Tony was so mad. Oh, he was so mad. He said, yes, I can do things. And the three of them all started laughing. Well, see you around, chump. And then Hidoi turned around and said, yeah, and that Japanese friend of yours, oh my goodness, Japanese, send him back to Japan. We'll teach him how to be a real man. Yes. Ha, ha, ha. They got in the car and they drove off. Oh. Well, Tony was not happy about this. This is not right. And they're insulting me and Kashi. Well, this isn't right. So he walked down to the end of the dock and he pulled out his cell phone. And he called Kashi Koi. He said, Kashi, I got to tell you, well, I was here on the dock, and this car pulled up, and these really tough-looking guys got out, and they said they were part of the recovery team. Kashi Koi went, oh! And they had a suitcase. Oh! And in the suitcase was that little robot, that little robot that we tried to steal three times. And they had it, and they brought it up to the place they called R&D. What's that all about? Kashi Koi said, I can't talk. I can't tell you about that. Nope, I can't say anything near on the... how about if we do lunch? You want to do lunch today? Tony said, I can't do lunch. I got a truck I got to load. And Kashi Koi said, oh, good, lunch. I'll be there at 12:30. Tony said, 12:30? But I have to take lunch at 11:30. What? I have to load this truck. Well, Kashi hung up. Tony went up to his supervisor. He said, listen, I got a change of plans. Can I take lunch at 12:30? And I'll really work hard and get this truck done before that. The supervisor just went, got exasperated and said, listen, just go ahead. You are such a pain in the neck and, oh, just do it. So Tony worked real hard. He finished packing the truck with all the stupid little taco-making robots. And then he got finished. He came out and he had time to wash his hands, wash his face, and climb out. And there, at the edge of the dock, was Kashi Koi. Kashi Koi had his new little Toyota. He said, come on, get in. Tony, get in. Kashi Koi looked at him and he said, tell me what happened. Tony told him all about it. Told him about the ninja coming in, about how mean they looked, about how they gave him the suitcase to pick up. And when he looked in the suitcase, it was the robot. And that they had to do something. This is not right. This is not their robot. They shouldn't have this robot. Kashi Koi thought. He said, well, you know, if he called the recovery team, I got to tell you, the recovery team are just a bunch of hooligan thieves. That's all they are. They're professional thieves, and they spend their life stealing stuff. And one of the things they like to steal is other people's robots. Oh, I can't believe Mr. Kashi Koi. He would never do that. He was all exasperated. We have to, we have to, We have to tell him. We got to let him know. Tony said, who? Kashiko. He said, we gotta let that Tall Tale guy go. That guy, no, that Professor Tall Tale, the guy that had them and the kid. We got to let them know. We got to let them know they're here so they can get him back. Tony said, what do you mean? Kashi said, so we're going right now. And he put it in the drive and he drove off. Boom! Hey, wait, I only have an hour for lunch. Said Tony, wait. Kashi Koi said, we'll figure it out when we get back. We got to go. So off they went. Well. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san is just finishing lunch. Professor Talltree had taken the day off to work with Mr. Nikiyoshi-san. He was just finishing lunch. Tomorrow Tool Talltale was just finishing lunch. They were all sitting at the dining room table, drinking their tea and saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to find this squeaky toy? This Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. I got to finish training him. He's not ready for the world. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san was a mess. He was a mess. Oh, what are we going to do? And then tomorrow Tool Talltale said, well, do you want some more tea? I can make some more tea and we can do sort of a plan. And the doorbell rang. And Mr. Professor Talltale said, well, who's this? I wonder who's here? And then tomorrow Tool Talltale said, I don't know, maybe somebody's on a, I don't know, let's go see. So they went and opened the door. And there was Tony, Ernesto, and Kashikoi. And they looked at the two and they said, you two, you were the ones who stole Squeaky Toy. I had Sir Ningyo Robot. You stole him 3 times. We saw you. What are you doing here? And where is he? Where's our robot? We want to know. Oh, Kashikoi, Shijiki. Kashi said, wait, no, please. I got to explain this. And Tony said, I have to explain this. Can we come in? Okay, come in. So they came in. And they sat down. Tomorrow Tool Talltale said, I got some tea going. So she made some tea. And they sat down. And then Tony told his story. He said, well, I was there. I was on the contract because I work at N Squared RT. And I worked there and I packed the robots into the trucks. And these three guys pulled up. They were really shifty looking guys. I mean, they were just not nice looking. One had a tattoo and one arm. It was a purple dragon with a red fire. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san heard that and went, oh, no. And they said, yeah. And then there was this other young woman. She looked cute, but she didn't. She could be cute if she wanted to, but she looked really mean and really unhappy. Oh. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san was not liking this more and more. And then there was this old guy. I mean, he had white hair. He looked old, but he wasn't old. He didn't move like he was old. He was pretty quick for an old guy, and he was pretty sharp, and boy, was he pretty mean. Anyway, they had me take this suitcase up to the second floor in the warehouse. Huh? And when I was on the elevator, I looked in, and when I looked in, it was your robot. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san sat back. Oh, no. Oh, no. And Professor Talltale couldn't believe it. He said, what? What? What do you mean? Where did you take him? And so Tony explained again. Well, he said I had to take him up to R&D, research and development. And he laughed at me like I was stupid. And then he laughed. And then he said R&D. And so I didn't have much of a choice. What was I going to do? Say no? I was going to lose my job if I did. I can't do that. So I took him up. But I have to tell you, that's where he is. We found him. We know where he is. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san sat back. He had this totally distracted look on his face. He looked back at Tony and Kashi. He said, Tony and Kashi, do you know who you have just described? And Tony and Kashi said, no, what do you mean, who have we described? Well, I have to tell you that the three people that you saw are very famous in Japan. And they're called Yazuka. And they're very, very important to be nice to them because those three are a team. And those three are what Mr. Kusumono likes to call his recovery team, but they are very, very, very bad people, and they will do bad things just because it's fun for them to do bad things, so you have to be careful if you see them again. Tony said, well, I'm not afraid of him. This is an old guy. What could the woman do? And that guy with the tattoo, he looked like he was just kind of slow and lazy. And Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, don't believe in looks. So I have to tell you be careful because they are all very, very murderous. So what did they do? Tell me again. So Tony had to tell him all over again. They drove up. They had this box in the trunk. He had to take it up. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san is sitting there thinking. And what did the robot look like? Oh, we told him. The robot was like dead cold. It was gone. There was nothing. There was no lights. There was no nothing. There was just, it's like somebody turned him off and that was it. It was junk. Mr. Nagiyoshi's got eyebrows went up and said, he is not junk. He stopped. He looked at Tony. He said, young man, you have to help me. Tony said, well, what do you mean? He said, you have to turn the Ayatsuri Ninja robot on. Oh, how do I do that? Well, I'll show you. I will train you. I will teach you how to turn them on. But you have to turn them on. So Tony said, but I can't get in. I don't have a badge. I can't get into the R&D lab. I don't know how to get there. I mean, how am I going to get a badge? When I put my badge up to it, it started screaming at me in an alarm. I'd wake up half the city. Ningyoshi-san looked at Kashikoi. He said, Kashikoi, I know your family. Your family are old friends of mine, the Kamakuras. I've known them since your dad and I played together in Tokyo. And I know your father, your uncle. Your uncle and your father both played with me when I was at the beach. I know them. They're good people. But I know that you are a lot higher in the organization than you let on because of who you are. And so you must have a badge. Kashikoi looked at him and he said, yes, sir, I do. And you can get into the R&D lab, can't you? Oh, yes, sir, I can. I can, but it would be recorded and they'd know why I got in. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, well, let it be so. I need you to help him turn on Ayatsuri Ninja robot. And Mr. Nagiyoshi-san looked at him. And Kashikoi looked at Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. And he thought to himself, this is Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. This is a national treasure of Japan. This is a man who has made the most remarkable robot in the world. And he's asking me for my help. I have to do it. It's the right thing to do. So he looked at Mr. Nagiyoshi-san and said, Professor Nagiyoshi-san, I will do everything I can to help you get back your little Ayatsuri Ninja robot. And Tony looked at him and said, well, if Kashi's going to help, I guess I will. Now, show me how to do this. So he sat down, and Mr. Nagiyoshi-san started drawing. He drew pictures of Squeaky Toy's head. He drew pictures of his hair. He drew pictures of his ears. He drew pictures of the back of his neck. He drew pictures of everything. He even drew pictures of the on-off switch to turn him off from speaking, but we don't want to do that. And he said, okay, now you can only turn off the Squeaky Toy robot thoroughly if you use this sequence of presses. And he showed him the sequence of presses. And it was the little tips that were used for his hat, all the five little keys for his hat when you put it on. Well, if you press them in the right order, he would turn off. Nagiyoshi-san thought. He said, you know, I've heard that Hidoi-san, the old guy, has a robo-taser that he carries around. And he looked at Tony. Did he have a cane? Tony said, yes, he did. Nagiyoshi-san said, so, be careful of that cane. It's got a very powerful taser in it. And he probably tasered Ayatsuri Ninja robot and shut him off. Because a high jolt of energy will freak out all of the circuits and they'll turn off in defense. Well, at least he should. That's the way I made him. So Tony said, okay. So what we have to do is we have to turn him on. Now, I know he's had enough energy in him because I had the solar hat on him all day the day before he left. So I know he's got enough energy, but he needs to be turned on. And if you can turn him on, if you can go put him on and get him going, I can talk to him. and then we'll get him out of there. Tony said, well, I can try. I've got to do it. Ninkyoshi-san looked at Kashi, and he said, do you think those guys have already gone at him? Kashi-san said, no. R&D, oh, they're the laziest group in the world. We're always yelling at them that they have to finish up their projects. They've got two other projects coming. No, they could let him sit there for a week, but if Mr. Kusumono-san is really on it, they'll be after him in the morning. They want to see how he works. Ninkyoshi-san let out a, oh, those oafs, those ham-handed oafs. They don't know anything about robots. They couldn't take apart Ninkyo robot. If they touch Ninkyo robot, if they try to take him apart, he will implode. Nothing will work. Kashi said, what do you mean? Timothy Talltale said, what do you mean? Ninkyoshi-san said, do you think I'd let somebody take apart my Ayatsuri Ninkyo robot? No. You have to take him apart in the right sequence of order. You have to touch the right sequence of buttons, and then he'll come apart, and then you can work with him. If you touch the wrong sequence, then his operating system melts down. Then all of his data goes goodbye, bye-bye, I delete it all. And then his circuits start snapping one after the other, pop, 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 pop. So you could get in there, you would never find out how we worked. But then we'd lose Ayatsuri Ninkyo robot. Can't have that happen. We can't. Ninkyoshi-san looked back at Tony. He said, you have to do this. You have to do this tonight. You have to do this before anybody gets back into that R&D lab. If you do, I think we can save him. Tony said, oh, this sounds really serious. Okay, I will. I'll do that. I will do that, and I will, I'll get him out of there for you. Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, you don't have to get him out for me. You just have to turn him on. All right, plan made. Just at that moment, in walks Timmy Tommy Toby. Timmy Tommy Toby looks up and he sees Tony and Kashi. And he goes, Huh? You! What are you doing here? What are you... Did you take Squeaky Toy? You did, didn't you? And he ran up and he started to yell at him. You took Squeaky Toy, didn't you? Timothy Talltale looked at Timmy Tommy Toby and he said, no, as a matter of fact, they didn't. 3T said, oh. Professor Talltale said, somebody else did. Timmy Tommy Toby said, oh. And then Professor Talltale said, and I wonder how Squeaky Toy got out of the house so that he could be kidnapped. At that, Timmy Tommy Toby hung his head. And then Tomorrow Tool Talltale said, 3T, Timmy Tommy Toby, are you telling the truth? Timmy Tommy Toby said, no, ma'am. No, I let out Squeaky Toy. Oh! You would have thought Mr. Ningyoshi-san would have a heart attack. He heard that and he jumped up. He started yelling at Timmy Tommy Toby. You little kid! I can't believe you let my robot out! Oh, you should be beaten! And he started to pick up a stick to whack him. And Professor Talltale said, no, don't beat 3T. He should be beaten for that. He needs to be punished. Oh, Mr. Ningyoshi-san was so mad. Oh, he was so mad. Oh, and even Tomorrow Tool Talltale was kind of miffed at him. He said, you lied to me. You lied to me. I can't believe you lied to me. And you lied to me about little Ninkyo robot. How could you do that? 3T said, well, I was afraid you'd get mad at me. Oh, Professor Talltale said, oh, you were afraid we'd get mad at you, huh? Oh, I see, and you never expected that me might find out and they get mad at you. Oh, Timmy Tommy Toby was not doing well. So Tony said, look it. Calm down, everybody. Kachi came in and said, okay, I know. He looked at Timmy Tommy Toby and he said, Timmy Tommy Toby, you're going to have to learn. Honesty, always. Then he looked at the two parents and Mr. Nigyoshi-san, and he bowed deeply and he said, Mr. Nigyoshi-san, you are a treasure to our country. You are the smartest robot man in the world. I don't think you should get angry like this. It was a mistake. He looks like just a young lad who was afraid. I think you just need to punish him appropriately. Mr. Nikiyoshi-san sat down, glowered. Tony said, yeah, you can't beat him. Just because you beat him doesn't mean it's going to mean anything. He has to do something that'll really, 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 really make him remember not only to let the robot out, but to tell the truth. Oh. So Professor Talltale looked at 3T. He said, well, 3T, I think we're going to start. We're going to start with no basketball for you for a month. 3T said, what? What? But what? But I have games. Good. You can call your friends and ask them how they went. But second, homework for you. I think you need to do twice as much homework because you're being very lazy about it. Timmy Tommy Toby was, but I hate homework. That's right. That's why you're going to help your sister do her homework, too. Ah! And then Tomorrow Tool Talltale said, and along those lines, I think we need to consider with Mr. Nigiyoshi what kind of mathematics you need to learn in order to catch up to where you should be to be a roboticist. 3T said, what? What? And so all three adults looked at him, and they said, young man, you are in trouble. You are in deep trouble, but we are trying to work through this mess that you made, and we don't have time to deal with this. So you can go to your room and start by cleaning up all of your toys, which you did a very poor job of last night, and then you can finish your homework. And when you finish your homework, you are to go to your sister and ask to help her with hers. Timmy Tommy Toby started to complain. And his father said, and? Your cell phone. My what? Your cell phone. Timmy Tommy pulled out his smartphone. His dad said, great, I'll just hold that till your homework is done. Timmy Tommy Toby was in a lot of trouble. Oh no. Oh my goodness, he didn't know how much trouble he was in. But he went to his room, he sort of cleaned it up a little bit, and he started his homework. He didn't think that his parents would be mad at him for long. I mean, after all, but he did his homework. He started. At that, Tony and Kashi said, okay, we're off. We will see what we can do. And they took off. And then Mr. Nigiyoshi-san said, I don't know what to do about these two young men. I don't know what we can do. I mean, I hope they come through. And Mr. Talltale said, you know what? I think they will. I think they will. I think at base they're honest. And I think they were misled when they were trying to steal Squeaky Toy. And I think everything will be all right. Well, Mr. Nigiyoshi-san didn't think so. So he kept walking around and around and around and around till Tomorrow Talltale said, well, let's go. Let's just call out for dinner. Let's have some Chinese food. And she called in a whole pile of Chinese food because she didn't even want to cook. She was so upset. All they could do was wait. All they could do was wait until Tony called and said, I turned them on. And that's it, William. That's that part of the story. Search for a missing robot. So next one is going to be, how do they get in? How do they turn on Squeaky Toy? And what does Squeaky Toy do after that? What does Timmy Tommy do after that? Timmy Tommy Toby's in trouble. We got to figure out what he's going to have to do. And I think I know what he's going to have to do. He may not be happy about it, but I can tell you, he's going to learn ever, never, ever, never tell a lie. That's what he's going to learn. And anyway, for you, little one, you have a good night's sleep. You hug your sister. She's the most beautiful little girl in the world. You hug your mom and dad. They're the most beautiful parents in the world. And you have a good night's sleep. And I will tell you another story soon enough. Good night.